This is Brian Kinsey. I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola, and I'm delighted that you're listening to our podcast, and I hope it is a blessing to your life. Please send us an email at firstpent.org if you have a prayer request or would like a Bible study. Thank you for listening.
Mark chapter 13, verse 24. In those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Verse 35, as you go down to the text, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch. So I want to talk to you tonight about, you perhaps won't understand it until I explain it, the four sacred chords of grace. Four sacred chords of grace. One thing that you need operating in your life continually is the music of grace. If you do not have that working in your life, then you're going to get hard and bitter, and you're going to be dull of hearing, and you're not going to be able to give without resenting. And that's a shame for a child of God who has been given so much by the Lord and who has been blessed with this salvation that only Jesus can give. And it would be a shame for us during this holiday season not to give and not to love and not to share without resentment, without pain. And there are people that will never return it. And some people won't even return good for good. They'll return evil for good. That can't be helped. That shouldn't change whether or not we give and we love and we care. And if you have the music of grace playing in your heart, there are four chords that will produce that. And you can play any song in the Bible with four chords. You can play any song in the Bible, and those four chords will work with every song. And you need that song in your heart. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, I don't hear the music yet. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I think it just started. So it's starting now in this place tonight. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Salmon do this. Hummingbirds, butterflies, and turtles. What do they have in common? They all go home again. There's a homing beacon that's been installed by their creator in their genetic makeup and instinct. All of these creatures go home. Salmon can find their way from the vast ocean back to whatever tiny tributary in which they were hatched. Hummingbirds will fly over 6,000 miles to find their nesting sites. Butterflies congregate in the same trees generation after generation. They just continue the process. Migrating turtles just closed down entire runways at JFK Airport in the summer of 2011 because they were going back home. I believe that it's a worldwide instinct. I've got to go home. It's an unstoppable force. And I believe that the church ought to speak to that instinct that's in the heart of every individual, and especially those who have tasted and seen and known that the Lord is good, that they would come home. Everybody here is homesick for something. Some of us are homesick for childhood homes, and some of us are homesick for our own homes filled with our children. Some are homesick for homes we never had, and some are homesick for the homes we left behind. I don't know if you heard about the teary-eyed kindergartner on the first day of school. The teacher said, "You aren't homesick already." He said, "No, I'm here sick." I don't know how homesick some of us are, but some of us might be here sick. Well, I don't want to be here. I want to be home, or I want to be there, and it's just natural. I know that people say that home is where the heart is, but that's not really true, because home is our only hope of having a heart to begin with. And Jesus assured his disciples, there's going to be some bad days and there's going to be some tribulation and the heavens are going to get shaken, but I'm coming home one day, and when I get home, I'm going to make it all right. I think we ought to just throw a welcome home party before he gets here and just sort of act like I'm ready for him to come back right now. And when he comes home and he returns, it's going to be a triumphant return with great power, and the glory of the Son of Man is going to usher in a new era, and there's going to be the fullness of the kingdom of God. And it's like a dual homecoming. The Son of Man, the Son of God, is coming in the clouds with great power and God's glorious presence. That's an awesome thing. But it's also Jesus who died on the cross. He's going, that earth-born Jesus, that Bethlehem-born Jesus, is going to come back to the earth, and he's going to experience that homecoming. That's the ultimate homecoming right there. I mean, that's what we're all in this thing for, is for Jesus to come back. I believe he's coming back to a broken world that needs healing and redemption, and only Jesus can do it. He's come to gather all those that are scattered and homeless back into the presence of the Father. Whatever might be missing in your life, whatever might keep your spirit yearning and hungry for redemption and for that renewing presence, I believe Jesus has what you are looking for. And I think our praise tonight ought to be a welcome home party. I don't think we ought to act like, oh, I don't really know whether I want Jesus to come or not. I think everybody here ought to get excited about the possibility, the truth, the reality. Jesus is coming home. This earth belongs to him now. There's an Australian group of humorist musicians called the Axis of Awesome. I don't know anything about them other than that I read that they use four chords to sing hundreds of popular hits and iconic songs. They can just with four chords sing just about any song that there is. Now, some of you may have heard of Leonard Cohen. He is a Canadian Jewish composer. He is a descendant of the tribe of Levi, and he is a descendant by DNA proof of Aaron himself. And he wrote a beautiful song called Hallelujah, which currently you can find on YouTube over 200 different recordings for this song, Hallelujah. But the most famous is the one that Bon Jovi recorded. And the first verse just intrigues me, and I want to share with you. Huh? What did I say? Was it something I said? Everybody was laughing. Y'all know who that Bon, who? Who? Hovey? Jovi? Jovi or whatever he is. I don't know anything about him, but he's the most famous recording artist of that particular song. And it introduces us to the sacred secret chord. And this is what Leonard says. Being a descendant of Aaron, being a part of the Jewish nation, he understands the value of music in a person's life, and he understands the need for you to sing your hallelujah. And this is what he says. I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. I believe that God will be pleased by these chords if I can get them playing in your life during this holiday season. But you don't really care for music, do you? But it goes like this, and here's the four chords. He calls them the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. And then he says, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Why is he baffled? Because it's hard to say hallelujah when you're going through all kinds of craziness. When you're going through tribulation, it's hard to find that hallelujah in your spirit. But I don't know how they sing it in the Hebrew, but in his Hebrew mind, there was four chords that they used to play and to sing different parts of that hallelujah word. And I want that hallelujah at work in your life. I don't care how bad it is never too bad to say hallelujah. We could say it like Handel did. Hallelujah. Huh? Or we could sing it like Andre Crouch. Hallelujah. I don't care how you sing it, whether you sing it smooth or whether you sing it exciting like the hallelujah chorus. I want you to put some hallelujah in your spirit during this holiday season, because we might not be home yet. We're just pilgrims walking through, but I've come to tell you, one day we're going home, and that's worth saying hallelujah, however you sing it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah over here. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah over there. Now let's talk about these four chords, because they're interesting. What is the fourth, the fifth, the minor fault, and the major lift? What are these four chords? Well, what if? I don't know, but just what if? The fourth is faith. The fourth chord is faith, and hope is the fifth, and forgiveness is the minor fault, and love is the major lift. I would to God we could get these four chords played. Some of y'all ain't got no music. You ain't got no song, and you ain't got no hallelujah up here on a Sunday night. You just went through Thanksgiving and ate all that turkey and pumpkin pie. You ought to have a hallelujah somewhere. If you can't say hallelujah, just smile. That's fine. Just smile at me. I'll take that. But I thank God it's at home where people start believing in you and believing you can make it. Now, psychologists say, they call it the body sway test. A person stands with their eyes closed, and this is a real test that they give people. They'll stand with their eyes closed, and there'll be several voices that they will be subjected to suggesting you're falling. You're falling. You're about to fall. You're about to trip. You're falling. You're falling. If you stay in a fairly upright position, then you are assumed to be emotionally mature. It's a maturity test. But if you start swaying, and I'm not talking about with the music, but with the downer words that are warning you, you're about to fall. You're not going to make it. You're about to fall. Well, I'm going to tell you, you live in a world that's about all you hear. If you tune in to whatever radio broadcast is, or whatever YouTube broadcast, or whatever talk show host you might listen to, it's always, we're about to fall. America going down. World about to burn. Everything's going bad. Wall Street's going to crash. The banks are going to do this. And everything's going bad. And that's all you hear. And that's all you receive. But I've come to tell you that we're not going to fail. I'm going to say it with security. You're not going to fail. You're going to make it. I'm not listening to that mess. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I've got faith. I've got the fourth chord. I don't know what Leonard was talking about. I'm not a Jew, and I don't know music. But I do know faith, and faith still works. And faith is a sacred chord that you need operating in your life when everybody else is saying you're going to fail. I'm saying we're going to make it all the way home. Someday we will not fail. I say, keep on shouting, keep on fighting, keep on believing, keep on trusting. There's a homecoming coming. And home is where people believe in you and have faith in you. If anybody ought to have faith in you, it ought to be people that go to church who have tasted grace themselves. How many of you have ever tasted grace and know that God has forgiven you of much? Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't even know how much God's forgiven me of. And then turn back to him and say, I ain't telling you either. I'm not telling you. Just know he's forgiven us of much. But the second cord, or the fifth that Leonard called it, is the cord of hope. Home is where you can hope and dream, and where people hope and dream dreams for you. Home is where people hold out hope for you when all else have lost it. Joan Chyster, in her book, Scarred by Struggle and Transformed by Hope, 2005, calls memory the seedbed of hope. Hope is not in spite of struggle and pain, she says, but it's born in the midst of struggle and pain. From the memory of goodness and beauty and truth comes hope, present in the midst of our circumstance, because I remember how good God has been. I remember how good ham was on Thursday. I remember how good those Krispy Kreme that Caitlin and Allison brought me, that Brother Dennis bought me. Hallelujah. He bought it and they brought it and I ate it. And there was one left and my wife put it in the refrigerator and I snuck in there and she said, I saw you got your last, that's the last one you're getting till Christmas. And I said, well, there's always hope, praise God. There's hope. There's hope, church. Come on, somebody give me some hope. Somebody tell me that Alabama's going to win the national. Somebody tell me, don't. Somebody give me some hope in this hour. I just want to know, can God give us some hope? Does anybody have the fifth cord operating in your life when there's so much darkness all around you? I have hope. Why would Jesus say, and the Bible instruct us to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you? Now, did you catch it? The assumption is that every disciple of Jesus is already known for having hope, because you've been saved. Hope. We're assumed to be people of hope. Now, that's a big assumption for some people who are negative by nature. But if you've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you don't have the music of grace, you need to get a violin and learn how to play it. What was that whenever you're self-pity or you're saying how bad you feel, somebody gives you this little small violin, that's the world's smallest one. Is that, have you ever done that to anybody? I quit telling everybody my problems because that's all they do to me. But I have hope when trouble comes my way. Turn to your neighbor and say, I still got hope. I still got hope. I see Sister Sharla over there doing well. The enemy tried to scare the ever-loving shookie-mookie out of us. But she's over there clapping her hands and praising the Lord. Why don't you get up and say hallelujah for your sister that got touched by God? What about Nikki over here just feeling all kind of bad a few weeks ago? And she told me tonight, she said, Brother Kenzie, I have been healed by Jesus and I have been touched by the power of God. I said, I have hope when trouble comes my way. It's a sacred, secret chord of hallelujah. I've got hope. But what about minor faults? What about forgiveness? That's that third chord. You got to learn you've been forgiven. And it doesn't come naturally to forgive people. I don't care. Ain't none of you in here just forgive people out of the kindness of your heart. It is just not going to happen. But home is where we learn to forgive and to be forgiven. Jesus, the key to Jesus is forgiveness. What about Joseph's willingness to forgive and to forget his pain that his brothers caused him because he recognized the higher purpose? Home is where you're loved, even though you're deeply flawed and even though you're deeply troubled. You got somebody to care about you and love you. Home is where you learn to recognize wholeness and holiness in others with all their flaws and cracks and things that are wrong in their life. Can you recognize holiness in somebody else that walks with God even though they've got feet of clay and don't do everything just right? Can you look at your brother and sister and say, I love you even though I see things and I know things and you know things about me and I know things about you. But home is where people who know you best love you the most. Home is where forgiveness is found. And I believe that if you reverse the words, it's giving forth or forgiving, giving forth blessing. When you feel like cursing, give forth a blessing. When you feel like revenge, don't take it. Husbands and wives need to learn that. Quit pushing all the buttons. How many of you know where the buttons? Some of y'all are like you're on a typewriter. Yeah, you got them messed up. Wait till I'm done with you, bless God. I'll light your fire. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. They used to tell us that in order to forgive somebody, you needed to get into prayer room and put a chair out there and seat them in there in your mind. Yeah, but I want to light them up. Praise God. Say, what's it like being in the hot seat, brother? Huh? Put them in that chair and forgive them, because it's necessary for us to learn how to forgive if we're going to have the music of grace in our life. I can't say I walk with Jesus if I can't let you off the hook. Somebody needs to forgive. Somebody needs to learn how to let go of things that you're holding on to that's going to cripple you and cause you pain. But the chord of love is the last chord. It's the major lift. And that's the native language of our true home. That love that flows from that knowledge, not of head or of mind, but of heart. And that's the kind of love that I want. I want that kind of love, not by just thought alone, but I want that kind of love that comes from Jesus Christ. Irenaeus of the 2nd century AD says that we can never know God as an object, but only by sharing in God's own self-knowledge. C.S. Lewis wrote once that the only place where we can be safe from the dangers of love is you got to go to hell to escape love. But as long as you're anywhere on this earth, God's love can reach you and God's love can lift you. I guess that's the reason why we sing that song, Love Lifted Me. How many of y'all remember there was a lot of people that sang it different ways? And I've heard people preach against, you can't sing it this way, you got to sing it. I don't know which way. I wouldn't know how to sing it in the first place. So I don't know. I might have been wrong when I said that. So forgive me. But I'm still saying that the fourth chord is love. Woo. Lift me. Me, how many of you have been lifted by the love of God? God loved you when you were flawed. God loved you when it was costly. Jesus paid the price, and he legally has a right to forgive you and love you. Amen. I like what Daniel O'Leary says. Loving someone wraps invisible blankets of blessing around both people. When you learn to love and forgive, the blessing doesn't just come to the person you give that to. It also comes to you. What if walking in the Spirit is a place that we all could get to if we had this music working in our lives? I see Jesus coming in the clouds. Those clouds that are troubling you right now, I see Jesus coming in those clouds. I have hope. It's an invitation for you to recognize the value of coming home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling all sinners to come home. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. That's why you need to be watching, because you don't know when your visitation is going to come. I don't know if it's going to be on this Sunday night or next Sunday morning or Monday. I don't know when God's going to visit me and just bestow upon me whatever he has promised. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm going to be watching for it. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to watch for it in my daily devotion as I do my rule of ever loving five. I'm going to be watching. Who knows? I might get a phone call. Who knows? Something might happen. I might get a text that might blow my mind. I might just start running around the house or something. In my pajamas still. And I'd still be praising God because love lifted me. I wish some of y'all could sing. Y'all just said, love lifted me. My God, no wonder you ain't got no lift in your spirit. You need to love. You need to get some soul in you. He promised this for you and for me. You are weary, come home. You're a sinner, come home. You are forsaken, come home. You are broken, come home. You are bruised, come home. I want you to come home tonight, and I want you to say your hallelujah with a spirit of joy, with a spirit of, I might be down, but I still have a hope. I might be told I'm a failure and I'm a falling, but I still have faith. I might have been flawed and messed up, but I've been forgiven. And I'm not only been forgiven, but I'm going to give forgiveness. Thank God for my forgiveness, but I'm going to give forgiveness. I want to forgive like Jesus forgave, but I need his help. I need his love, because I can't do it by myself. I don't have it in my human heart, but I've got the Holy Ghost, and the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Come on, church, let the love of God lift you. Do you still have hope? Do you still have a hallelujah? I said, do you still have a hallelujah in your heart? It's the chord that pleased the Lord. It's the chord that pleased the Lord. And you need to get it playing in your heart right now. You need to let it last through the... There's going to be family that's going to aggravate you. So they've already aggravated you. There's going to be somebody that's going to burn the toast. And there's always going to be something going on. But forgive. Let it go. Be lifted by the love of God. Get this music playing in your heart. But you can't get it unless you speak it. So turn to your neighbor and say, hallelujah. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I love you in spite of you. Well, y'all want to just go ahead and sit down and let me preach, or y'all want to stand up and let's come to the altar? You can do it either way. Because I can preach on. For the first time in a long time, I finished my notes, but I still got more to say. I don't know when I finished my notes, but I finished my notes tonight. Now it's time for the Holy Ghost to move. Hallelujah! Come home, church. Come home to the music of grace. Come home. Come home. Let that chord be struck in your heart. Let that voice be heard in your spirit. If a hummingbird can fly 6,000 miles to get home, I can come to church on a Sunday night and give my hallelujah with expectation that Jesus is going to come in the clouds with great power and glory. And he's going to gather his people from four winds, four chords, sacred chords of grace that need to play in your heart. So how do I get that? What do I do? Just let the Holy Ghost move on you. You got the Holy Ghost? That's all you need right there. You just need to let it do its work. But you have to have understanding of what the Bible says about these things. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. That if we don't have hope, we are of all men most miserable. No wonder you're miserable. You don't have hope. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And though you have you can speak in tongues, men and of angels, you can cast out devils, you can do all of these things. You don't have love, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. That's how important these chords are. Because without them, you won't be singing much. There won't be a song in your heart. There won't be a hallelujah that's going to please the Lord. The secret is in the song of the heart. And that's what you have to learn. And the Bible says it very plainly, very specifically. So you got to take those scriptures and speak them over yourself and let the Holy Ghost make them real. I promise you, if you'll do that, if you'll this week take those scriptures and pray them over you, God will do every one of those in you right now because you've got the Holy Ghost. That's the power to do it. You don't have the power to do any of this, but he does. Well, there's just some people I can't love. I understand that. That's all of us. Let the Holy Ghost work in you. And you'll be loving all over them people. God will put 15 of them in your pathway this week. Then after the fifth one, you'll catch on. Oh, Brother Kinsey said God was going to put these people in my life. Yeah. To test you. To see if you can learn to love them. We try to get rid of the people that God wants us to help. And we need to learn how to love them. And we need to learn how to help them. God will help us. And he needs to, because only God can save a soul from sin. You can't save anybody from sin. You can teach them, you can share with them, you can love them, but you can't save them from sin. But Jesus can. Amen? Now, if you know tonight you need some music in your heart, your songs died out a little bit, you can't even play the radio anymore, so messed up, no song in your heart, no love, no forgiveness, no hope, no faith, it's all right, you're cool, but you want that to start playing again. You want the music. I've speeched it into your life tonight. All you got to do is pick up the violin and start playing. Get on the piano and the stringed instruments and the high sounded cymbals. Start playing. God is going to do the work. Now, first of all, I want you to lift your hands and receive it. I want you to receive the word, and I want you to let the music come into your heart. Okay, that's the first thing we're going to do. Y'all going to sing. Go ahead. Go ahead. Invite it. Say, God, I can't do this work. I can't love people like you did without you helping me. I can't forgive people that's been mean to me without you helping me. I can't have faith when it seems like everything's going wrong, and hope when it seems like tribulation is everywhere. But I see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with glory. Gathering the homeless and the scattered from the four corners of heaven and earth. I see it. I'm going to watch for it. I'm going to pay attention. And I'm going to find that secret chord. And I'm going to play it, because I know it pleases the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now let's sing it. And then I want you to connect with somebody, and you're going to try to start loving on them, and you're going to bless them, and you're going to put that in your spirit right now. Your start. Say, well, I feel awkward doing that because I don't want to bless them. Go ahead and do it anyway, because God's liable to answer my prayer. Yeah, he sure is. Pray for them right now. Believe God.
We hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, please subscribe so you don't miss another message. Please connect with us if you have any questions. We would be delighted to hear from you, and we can be found at firstpent.org. That is FIRSTPENT.org, and we certainly hope that you will visit us soon. Be blessed in Jesus' name.